future of the book that we're going through right now and studying. I want to read a couple of scriptures though before we get to
them. I want to remind you, and please turn to Hebrews
2, 5 through 8, Hebrews chapter 2, and verses 5 through 8. And we're coming to the end of the book, and I wanted to, next week we study about our God bodies, or each of our God bodies, our immortal bodies. I'm kind of afraid to say our God bodies because people kind of get off on that, but they are God-like bodies, although we're not God. But I don't want anybody to get caught off in that, so we'll just say our immortal bodies, because that's what we're referring to, and that's what people are used to hearing. But let's do some recap before we go into the nice lesson and catch up where we are. For everybody who's been with us the whole time, we start off as we walk through the dispensations of angels and trillions of years ago and the war in heaven and how angels left their first estate and so forth and so on. And we get to the point where last week we were talking about of the rapture and being caught up, which is where we are now. And then as we look into the new heaven and the new earth, and one of the things that I was looking at in Revelation when I was reading that, in Revelation where it says, I saw the city of New Jerusalem coming down like a bride adorned for a husband, and talks about that, and it says that when it comes, there'll be no more tears, and no more crying, no more death, and all those. You know, somebody said to me one time, someone said to me, I read a commentary and the person was saying that when they read that, yes, there will be tears in heaven. I said, there'll be tears in heaven. And they said, yes, because in Revelation it says that there'll be no more tears and no more suffering, no more pain. And he totally missed the point that when Revelation said that, it's referring to when the city of New Jerusalem sits on earth here. When it comes down from heaven, then there'll be no more tears in the earth. And no more pain and no more suffering. Nobody's suffering in heaven. Because there's no sin there, there's no death there. Nobody's suffering there now. Joy unspeakable. But when he refers to in Revelation, when he talks about that, the city of New Jerusalem and all, he's going to wipe away all the tears from your eyes, he's referring to these tears that people have in the earth. We cry and we sorrow from time to time, and because of the travail that we go through and the things we go through. But when we see Jesus, we will not cry anymore. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
And when we see Jesus, we won't worry about anything anymore. Everybody say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
All our suffering will be over. Say, thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus.
I know. Praise His holy name. So let's look at it tonight. We left off on page number, I started off on 65. In Age of Ages, and soon as Sean was able to bring it up on the screen. And if you want to read it in a book fashion, we have one over here. If that's easier for you. And should be up on the end.
I'll take that back at 65 on what I'm reading, but yeah, actually it's page 87. We're almost done. Actually, we're right there. He's going to put it on the screen in a moment anyway. It's a reminder in Hebrews of our position in God. For unto the angels have he not put in subjection the world to come. And the angels, and unto the angels has he not made subject, or has he not put over the world to come. And the world to come refers to our eternity in Christ, when the universe is set in order and that we're all ruling and reigning with him. But one in a certain place testified, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him, and the son of man that thou visitest him? And David writes this, it's the chapter before that. And David writes this when he's saying, why is God so interested in man? Have you ever considered that? Why is God so interested in man? Why does God put up with this at all? I was contemplating today too. What's the chapter before that? I was contemplating today where it says in Genesis, everybody remember when before Noah's flood and the earth was in such a horrendous state, and it said it repented God that he had created man. And I was thinking about that because I wanted the understanding of it. Usually when we say that we repented for something, we've changed our mind about it. In this particular case, it is no issue of God changing his mind about it. It's that God felt like, God, I'm troubled by it. You know, they are so difficult to deal with. Man is so difficult to deal with. And what it really comes down to is sin just messed us up. The power of sin it isn't just an issue of sin messing up our minds, but the power of sin also brought about death and made us mortal, and our sickness and disease and everything comes as a result of Adam's fall. So when David says into this, he says, when he makes he's quizzing himself, says, what is, you know, why is God so interested in man? And then he answers the question. He says, thou made him a little bit lower than the angels. Thou crowned him with glory and honor, and did set him over the works of thy hands. And thou hast put all things in subjection unto him, and he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet things put under him. So David, when he wrote this, was preparing us for the time when we will reach our, we will be changed from mortal to immortal. And no, we're not like the Heaven's Gate people or you know, all the other people who fly up into the atmosphere. This is what God refers to in 1 Thessalonians and also in Corinthians. He makes this point about us being changed from mortal to immortal. And then we have this great example of death, and that's what Jesus Christ does. He is human, and when he is resurrected, he's changed from mortal to immortal. And in the resurrection, we shall be changed from mortal to immortal. And then we will enter into our eternal life. I want to start where I left off the last time, and so I'm going to start reading about the chapter where it says the world to come. Okay, that's a good place to start. The world to come not only includes being raptured up to heaven and living in mansions in New Jerusalem, but it also means the reestablishment of the kingdom of God over our fallen universe. So when we talk about the world to come, we're not just talking about, you know, think about for all of us, after the rapture and after we're in heaven and after we are at the Lamb's Feast and after we go through the millennium, for most of us, it's a blank sheet. Now what? That's where we start to rule and reign with him. The answer is, as Bishop Brunner says, Pastor Brunner says, is right in front of you. We'll rule and reign with him. The colonization of the planets start. The world to come not only living in a mansion in New Jerusalem, but also means the reestablishment of the kingdom of God over our fallen universe. The world to come will be the age where all creation will be put in perfect harmony and synchronicity. All will be connected to God by and through the Holy Ghost to create a divine unity. All of us will have God's spirit and have his mind, and we will have God's way and think like God. Remember now, God is perfect. So if you're seeing there's so many things, that so many movies and books that have been written with the design that they would cause people to not trust God or to feel that the things that God is doing are not right. One of them is 1984. Of course, if we became robotic and everybody followed the same thing and the same laws on Earth, that's the problem with the law. They're not perfect. And yes, it's going to be a society that nobody wants to be a part of. But remember, this is George Orwell, not God.
Yes.
So don't let yourself think back to it. The same thing can be said about when we talk about being immortal beings and living forever, zombies.
Yes.
Don't let anybody think that when we're resurrected, we're going to be zombified.
Right.
Walk through, you know, I was watching, what's the thing that comes on the afternoon they made all this money off of? They were making $11 million on the show. And it was really ridiculous. Can't think of it now. Not Third Rock from the Sun, but the other one. It's kind of silly. And one of them, the little Asian guy says, what happens if the zombie doesn't get a chance to eat meat? He can't die. He's already dead.
Big Bang Theory.
There you go. You see how ridiculous they make? All these things are designed by Satan to make you, that when I start talking about having an immortal body living forever, your mind starts going, ooh. They're designed to help you not have faith in God. Because they distort the truth. Think about them as a caricature. You know how a caricature distorts the features of a person depending on what the artist wants it to do. That's what Satan does with God. He can't stop what God is doing. So he tries to discredit it. And make it seem like something that's really, and it's a shame among people who are in the house of God. Because we know so little we have the Bible in front of us, but we know so little of it. And what it is, we are restricted to just what we can get out of God on earth. You know, and people preach, you're going to be all right on earth. Listen, if I'm never all right on earth, I'll be all right when I see Jesus. I know that. But because I know the Word of God says, and someone will say, well, how do you know you're going to be divine and immortal? Because the Word of God says that when I see Him, I shall be like Him. For I shall see Him as He is. And then if you tie this in with Jesus, when He left in John the 17th chapter, He makes the point of saying, restore to me the glory that I had with thee before the world was. And all power is returned to Him. So, you know, when you connect the dots and you spend time in the Word of God and don't become the sort of person that you're just all right to just sit there and go through an emotional event, and not go any further in God, of course you have to be preached up all the time. And you got to have, I love music like everybody else. I absolutely love music. Matter of fact, if God has had to do anything with me concerning music, it was had to deliver me from something and my love for it. But I don't have to be lifted up every day. If you really want to lift me up, give me the Word of God. I've grown too far now for your emotionalism to really lift me up, just on emotion alone, because I know emotions go up and emotions go down. There's no power in emotions. You can cry all night long. Your tears won't move anything. You know, if you have to have the Word of God. My faith is in God. I'm going to be all right because God makes everything all right. And God knows and loves me. And God takes care of me. I will be all right. That's how that goes. So when we talk about Christians, we talk about a Christian's future and start talking about colonizing planets. Ooh, now all of a sudden you're in Star Trek and you're in Outer Limits and you're in Twilight Zone and you're every place except in the Bible.
Yes.
Because you have so much more experience with the earthly writers and their stupidity. But you have very little experience or knowledge in the Spirit. And it's right in front of you. And the world to come will be the age where all creation will be in perfect harmony and synchronicity. All will be connected to God by and through the Holy Ghost. Now remember, long before earth fell. Everybody say, long before earth fell. Satan and his angels fell.
Yes.
They disrupted God's universe plan for the universe.
Yes.
They disrupted that. And God had to restore that. All has to be restored to order. And God, being a fair and just God, had to work that out. And He's working it out through us. All will be connected to God by and through the Holy Ghost to create the divine unity. Everybody will have God's Spirit. Everybody does not have God's Spirit at this time, because if you're not saved, you don't have the Spirit of God. And many of us in whom the Spirit of God dwells, we allow Him very little leeway in our life and in our minds. We have just enough of the Spirit to be saved, and that certainly is a whole lot better than nothing. But we don't allow Him, scarcely shall the righteous be saved. That's right. But we don't allow Him to have anywhere near the influence and the move in us that He could have if we would allow Him to have it. He says in this, all creation and on all worlds will have God's rich blessings and a full release of the glory of God. This again is where we lose most people, because we only think of ourselves on earth. We never consider that in the universe, where there are billions and trillions and zillions of solar systems and places that God could possibly have any place else in the universe that He's concerned about. All, and then we turn around and say he upholds all things by the word of his power. So what does he uphold? Chicago, New York, LA? Is that the extent of it?
No.
You know, just the earth and the moon, you know, and there's a planet heaven sitting out there someplace, and the rest of the universe is on its own. Mm-hmm. No wonder you don't think that God is the only God. Because if he's only over the planet heaven that's out there someplace, the planet earth, the sun, the moon, the stars, and the solar system, no wonder your mind is so short concerning that. All creation on all worlds will have God's rich blessings and full release of the glory of God. And mortal man, that's me, in particular, will experience this glory because he will be lights to these worlds, on these worlds. Jesus says, we are the light of the world. Yeah. In other words, we bring light, the knowledge of God, the glory of God, the move of God. That's what we're supposed to do. It's what we're supposed to be doing now. When you see us, if we are saved, we're supposed to, we should represent God. You should see someone who is God-like. Not just because I don't go to the strip clubs or the bars. My temperament, you know, let your moderation be known. And I harp on this all the time. And you say, well, you beat this bandwagon. It's because I see so many people who hold themselves so full of the Holy Ghost and they're so corrupted. Mm-hmm. They're not in sin, but they're so corrupted. They do things. They cheat. They slip in behind people. They manipulate. They do all kinds of little things, little impish things that the same folks should not do. And for someone, and I know, if you really want God to move for you, you need to try to be as holy as you can be. Well, it's not easy being holy if you don't know what holiness is.
That's right.
So when you're looking at examples of corruption, then Jesus said that, didn't he? He said in one place, he says that even the light that some of you have is darkness.
What he said.
His point being is even what you consider to be right is wrong. Mm-hmm. So he makes this point. Us being, okay, everybody remember now, we're the height of God's creation. Everybody got that?
Mm-hmm.
We are the height of God's creation. There is no one in God's universe that God has ever created who is higher than us. The only person who is higher than man is God himself. We are next to him. Our glory and honor is above the angels. We don't have it yet because we're still stuck in this sinful flesh, but we're going to. God has already established that that's who we are. As soon as we make it into immortality, which is coming soon. Immortal man in particular will experience his glory because he will be lights in these worlds. And we won't just rule on earth. Everybody's not going to rule on earth. That's another thing that people seem to think. We're just going to preach and teach each other forever. God, there's so many, there's so much more that God has. Just as Lucifer, the light bringer, and the angels that fell on their worlds were given authority and illuminated their planets by the light they received from God, so too, in a greater way, immortal man who was made a little lower than Elohim, gods, will govern the worlds, Hebrews 2 and 5, indicates that not even angels would have this kind of glory. We will also rule over them. The word crownist in Greek translation is Stephano, which means to reward for victory, and the glory and honor bestowed by God upon man in regards to his position in creation. We will be rewarded for the victory. There is a victory. Has anyone ever read Revelation chapters, well, actually, was it 2 through 4 or 5, when he talks to the churches? And he keeps talking about victory, and what word does he use all the time?
Overcome.
He that overcomes. He that overcomes. Mm-hmm. Overcome what? And he names the things, yeah. Overcome themselves, overcome their love for the world, overcome this, overcome the devil. And one church talks about evil people being in it. So, you know, you're going to have to overcome that.
Yes.
When it says he crowns us, it means that he rewards us for our victory in him. The sons of God will be lights upon all their rule. Like the angels before them, God will manifest through them special wisdom and the ability to rule well on their world so that all may share in this incredible, unsearchable riches of God. Remember we talked about last week, in the first part of this chapter, natural man, we use the term natural man, who will be in the earth, who no longer is under penalty of death and no longer because there will be no death in the earth, and sin will be taken away, and Satan will be cast away from forever after the first million years, after the Battle of Armageddon. They will begin to have kids and populate.
Yes.
And replenish the worlds that God has. Eventually, on earth, you will run out of space.
That's right.
Well,
that's right.
Because they're not dying. Yes. So what are they going to do? You know, you would have, here again, you have this dystopian, I guess that's the word, society where people are just overpopulated and they're crowded and just standing like this or whatever. That's, here again, is another perversion that Satan makes it seem like in the earth, because if no one's dying anymore and people are now free to have as many kids as they want because having kids is not painful anymore, and you can in that society, then yeah, of course, it won't take very long at all where you would overpopulate the earth.
Yes.
The one, it seems as if the one segment of people who will forever, even in their glorified state, be on earth are the Jewish people.
Yes.
Because David will rule in Jerusalem, in the city of New Jerusalem. He will be king.
Yes. Yes.
He won't be over God because Christ will rule the universe from there.
Yes.
But in the natural world, their king will be David. He will be a king there forever. That's what they will rule over. They will, that the heads of the 12 tribes will still rule from earth. Because God will govern from earth.
Yes.
And the rest of us, you know, everybody else, all of us who will reign and rule with God, will go wherever He tells us to go and love it.
Yes. And love it.
And it will be, and love it.
Yes.
Matter of fact, when you're growing up in God and start going where God wants you to go, now you start to love it.
Yes.
I do.
You do. When you start to obey God, and if people would just allow themselves just a little bit to obey God, you would learn to love God, because the way of God is great.
Yes.
The way of the Lord is great. And I listen to all the preachers who, the woe is me preachers, we come and get in your woes with you. I don't need you to come and get in your woes with me. Preach me out. Tell me about Jesus.
Yes.
On a dark, cloudy day, you know what I need? Light.
Light, yes.
When things are not going right, you know what I need to hear? Light.
Light. Yes.
And I don't need you to speak directly to my problem, because you're not me, and you don't know, even though you might have similarities to my problems, you're not me and my problems. You're somebody else who had a problem like mine, but you're not me and my problem. The only person who can be with me and my problem is God. I need the Lord to come in, because He's able to know exactly what I'm going through, and He can identify with me, because you know why? He created me. He knows all about me. So He says in this, the sons of God will be lights upon all they rule. I read that, didn't I? Like angels before Him, God will manifest through them special wisdom and ability to rule well on their world, so that all may share in this incredible, unsearchable riches of God. You should be so encouraged, knowing that the end of what other people call the end is not your end. All the sanctuaries on these planets will assemble and worship the Almighty Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, Holy Spirit as well, has received governance from its king and lord. Yes, each planet will have its own king and lord who rule and reign on behalf of God. And just like governance on the new earth will be by God in person, immortal man will administer God's governance upon the human nations that will live there. All rule will come from headquarters, the New Jerusalem, and all will be connected by the Holy Spirit in some measure according to their status of glory. That will be our connection to God. It's our connection now. If you, you know, for all of us, and let me put this plug in, let me do an infomercial here. Desire to be more in the Spirit.
Yeah, yeah.
Desire to be more in the Spirit. Every day ask God to renew you in spirit.
All right.
And every day ask God to deliver you from anything that is not like God. Ask God to come in and sweep over.
Yes.
And sweep through you and to purge out anything that is not like God. Ask the Lord to come in. Give Him free reign. And ask the Lord, and you know, ask Him to wash you in the blood of Jesus. Ask Him to come in and tell the Lord, Lord, I yield to you. Lord, come in and purge me with the purging fire of the Holy Spirit. Drive out everything that's not like you. Change me. Be someone who is willing for God to make a change in. Don't come to God and tell Him what parts you'd like fixed. There's not a part that we have that doesn't need to be fixed. I almost sound like Joel Osteen.
Just a little bit.
Just a little bit. There's nothing about us that doesn't need God's hand. There's no portion of me that does not need God's hand in my life. You see where we're going?
Yeah.
And what God has in store for us to be,
yes.
Then there's nothing, there's no good thing that God will withhold from them that walk upright before Him. He being, walk upright before Him. Yes, I read that part. All rule will come from the headquarters of New Jerusalem. And New Jerusalem will be here on earth because it will come down from heaven. And God will no longer reign from the planet of heaven, but He'll reign from the planet earth. And we'll be connected by the Holy Spirit in some measure according to their status. And he reads from Revelation 22 and 12. Behold, I come quickly, and my reward is with me to give every man according to his work shall be, as his work shall be.
Mm-hmm.
There will be different levels of glory and authority based on the believer's level, but labor, and all governors will follow the pattern of New Jerusalem on earth. There will be nations and communities. Just as there will be no sin or death on earth, the same redemption will be carried out throughout all God's kingdom. All sin will be eradicated. Just don't have it anymore. I'm loving that because when God, you know, the Lord wrote through the prophet, I think Zechariah, he said, I'm going to purge away the memory of idol gods.
That's what he said.
He says, I'm going to purge away the memory. When he renews the earth with a fervent heat, you're not going to be able to dig down the earth someplace and find a statue of Buddha or a statue of Shiva. You're going to find a manuscript. You know, you're not going to find a Quran.
Right. Yes.
And you're not going to find the Book of Mormon. And you're not going to find canon law dogma. And you're not going to find the Ten Commandments. And you're not going to find the Book of Moses. You're not going to find any of those things. Well, the law was not... it was not from an idol god. Mm-hmm. But it was done away when Jesus came.
Yes.
We now have the Spirit of God. That's who leads us and guides us. Every place that you can be led by the Spirit, as opposed to a law, you want to be led always by the Spirit. You don't want to keep making everything be about a law. You want to be led by the Spirit. In Romans, the first chapter, he makes this point about. He says that those. He says that. God will hold everybody responsible. Those who are circumcised with the law,
mm-hmm.
and those who are uncircumcised without the law. And he makes the point, and some people make this. They get off on this. He says that the people who are without the law become a law unto themselves. And the mistake that people make is they say, well, if you never heard of God, then you probably, if you live right, you're probably saved. Not true.
Are you sure?
That's not the point he's making. His point, the point that God is making is that I don't need a law to tell me not to steal. I don't steal.
Yeah. Period.
I don't need a law to tell me not to kill anyone. I don't kill.
Yes.
That's his point.
Yeah.
He's saying he says there are those who are without the law that God recognizes who become a law into themselves.
Does, yeah.
Because my conscience leads me. There's some things I'm not going to do.
Yeah.
I'm just not an evil, mean person. And people say, well, you're bragging about it. I'm not bragging about it. I'm just telling you the truth. 90% of most days, I'm a very nice person. I just am. It's the way that I am. And I thank God for it. I'm glad that I'm not a gloomy, mean, Grinch-looking, go through the earth with a sour look all day long. It's just not me.
Yes.
You know, you're getting sound like Joel. that's not how I am.
Okay.
And everybody else should not want to be.
Yes.
So I don't need a law to say to me, I don't need a law that says to me, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. I remember, you know, that the intent was so that they glorify God and worship God. I don't need a law for that.
Yeah.
I glorify God every day anyway.
Yeah.
It just so happens that Sunday is the day of the first day of the week is established and always has been traditionally when we go to church and when we serve God for the most part. And there should be one day when we all come together, at least in a simple, we do it on Tuesday night. But as far as keeping it holy for the purpose of worshiping God, I don't have to have a law that tells me that. I don't have to have a law to tell me not to have any other God.
Yes.
And this is the point that God was making, Paul was making, when he said the Gentiles do things without the law. mm-hmm. That bring them before God, that you have to have a law to do. The Gentiles don't run after everybody else's wife. The Gentiles don't steal from one another. And the Gentiles don't steal each other's farm animals.
Yes.
And yet here you are, you're God's people, and you must have a law. Tell you not to do it. So I say all that to say, as much as you can grow in the spirit and come to the point where you don't do things because someone says do it, a tradition says do it, you grow to a point where it's the natural you.
It's the natural way, yeah.
It's the way of the that's when you start becoming a light.
Yeah.
That's when God starts working in you. It's just what you do.
Yeah.
You get up in the morning and you say good morning to everybody. It's just what you do.
Yeah.
It's how you are. You don't need to have a reason. You would rather smile than cry.
Yeah. Absolutely.
That's just how you are. Yeah. You'd rather be happy than sad.
Yeah. Yes.
You'd rather be civil than grumpy. That's just the way you are. And there's some people who just love to be grumpy. Oh, well, I'm this way until 12 noon. Well, hey, okay.
You do.
Stay like that. When Revelation 20:24 says, and the nations of them which are saved shall walk in the light of it, and the kings of the earth do bring their glory and honor into it. And Revelation 21:26, and they shall bring the glory and honor of the nations into it. It is referring to all kings and all nations on every planet and all creation. Our God rules and reigns over all creation, and all will come to the holy city to honor the great God who is all in all.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody will come into the city of New Jerusalem from wherever they are to worship God at one point or another. They worship God in the earth and on their planets, but they'll come to the city of New Jerusalem from time to time, and they'll meet God there, and they'll come in and bow before Him. But the problem is they can't stay in the city. They have to. Y'all come visit, but you gotta go home. You can't stay forever.
Yeah.
Our God is too big for our human minds to comprehend.
Mm.
All creation who are in the right standing with Him in the kingdom recognizes that all things are created by Him and for Him and by Him, and that He is so powerful all things are held together by Him.
Mm-hmm.
We don't always understand all that. One planet is not enough to exalt and honor Him. One universe alone cannot offer due praise. All creation must honor Him. There is a wonderful scene in heaven recorded in Revelation 4:8-11 of how God is to be honored by all creation. And the four beasts had each of them six wings about Him, and they were full of eyes. This is Revelation 4:8-11. Within, and they rest not day and night, saying, holy, 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 the Lord God Almighty, which was and is to come. And when those beasts give glory and honor and thanks to Him that sat on the throne who liveth forever, forever and ever, the 24 elders fall down before Him that sat on the throne and worship Him that liveth forever and ever, and cast their crowns before the throne, saying, Thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory and honor and power, for Thou hast created all things, and for Thy pleasure they are and were created. This is a scene in heaven.
Mm.
Imagine this. Sometimes when I'm praying, I think to myself, I'm casting my crown before Him, not to the extent that they are, because I'm not where they are.
Mm.
But that's the mindset that you need to have. What does it mean for them to cast their crown before Him? They recognize that everything they have comes from God. They would not have crowns if God had not given them to them. And they make the point of, when they cast their crowns to Him, this is a total subjection to Him. This is saying, you're everything. You are all in all. You created everything. Everything is for you and everything is by you. They're casting their crowns before Him. God's kingdom is vast, and it was created to bring Him honor and praise. Dead planets and lifeless universe do not bring Him glory. However, worlds full of splendor and unsearchable riches of Christ most certainly will. Remember in the very beginning when we first started talking, and we were saying, and one of the first points that's made is that God is not glorified by dead things and lifeless things or bad things, because God created everything perfect.
Yes.
Not only did God create everything perfect, He still does perfect work.
Perfect work, yes.
He's doing a perfecting work in us. Many of the trials and things we do, when you're living in the earth, and we see ourselves. You're like the, we are like the 2-year-old, that's not there yet. The 1-year-old who's just learning to walk and you keep falling. Mm-hmm. And, but you'll never learn to walk unless you do. And that's fixed, isn't it? You know why it's fixed? Because when you're 1, you can fall down. You're only 3 inches off the floor. You don't hurt yourself. Can you imagine if every time we fell down, we fell from where we are now, you know, I just dropped down a line behind you, and our baby's water just go, boom.
You don't survive.
Can you imagine that now?
Oh, you're going to break some.
Yeah. So you had to learn how to walk at some point in time because you can't keep doing that.
Yes. You're being perfected. Yes.
That's what it's like in God.
Yes.
Some of the things that you fall about, you're too big and too old to keep doing that.
You can't keep doing that,
and that's why hurt comes and harm comes.
Because
you're not supposed to still be doing that. Some of the anger issues and things that people go through, you know, in the house of God, been around forever, they're not supposed to still have that. And it tears up and it corrupts. That's why Jesus, you know, Paul had to write, "Let not corrupt communication come out of your mouth," because you tear up stuff.
Yeah.
That's why I'm concerned when people are going through. I'm really concerned about who they listen to. It is one thing to empathize with someone; it's even something to sympathize. But you can't climb in a hole with them. No. You can't lift somebody up if you're in a hole with them.
With them. Right. Yeah.
Someone has to be someone who can lift somebody up.
Yes.
I got pity on you all day long, but we'll just all get together and what we'll do. You know what people do when they don't pull people out? They start an organization to pity one another. And once a year, twice a year, what they do is they call each other names.
Oh, yeah.
And
yeah,
they cry together. Yes, they do. Weeping may endure for a night, but you're supposed to have a morning.
Every morning, yes.
You're supposed to have joy sooner or later. You're not supposed to organize so that you can all come together and weep together.
They weep together.
Burn a bunch of candles and do all that. I'm not being insensitive. I'm saying
but
you're supposed to get
up.
The Lord gets you over it. God gets you over everything.
Yes,
He heals the brokenhearted. Exactly. Yes. He's a healer. Let God heal you.
Yes.
Well, how will you do that if you never hear about God?
Yes.
And I just keep telling you, well, you know, I was going through and the Lord brought me out. And my question is, how do you do that?
Yes.
And for me, that's a fair question. You keep telling me, well, you know, when I was going through, I went through and God brought me out. Okay, I believe you. Now, how do you do it?
Yes.
How do you bring you out? Well, you can start. You can say, well, one of the things was, the Lord lifted me up because I read Psalm 34.
Yes.
When I read Psalm 23, the Lord started really speaking to me.
Yes.
I read 46. I read Psalm 46, and the Lord brought me out. I looked at how the Lord brought up Jonas. You know, Jonah. When Jonah had seriously fallen, he'd gone down into the deep, and the weeds were wrapping around his head. He was really bad off. And he cried out to the Lord, and the Lord had already prepared a way to deliver him, because before Jonah was thrown overboard, God has already prepared him there, a great fish to find him.
Yes.
He is thrown overboard in chapter 2, but in chapter 1 it says God had already prepared a great fish.
Yes.
You find Elijah, who is fed by the widow woman, the widow of Zarephath, but you find out in the chapter preceding that God had already told her that the servant of God is going to come along and take care of her. The Lord always works things out. If you will allow the Lord, He will always. And so He told Israel, even when He cast Israel out, when Israel was thrown out and dispersed into the world, He said, "For all of you who will call on me, for you, I will be a little sanctuary.
Yes.
And wherever you are, I'll be there. When you call on me, you'll have a little sanctuary. You'll have the peace of me being there, and I will be with you no matter where you are and whatever." And those are the things that people need to know. You know, not just, well, you know, God, don't worry about it. God will bring you out. God will bring you out. You're not helping me.
No.
Tell me about God. Give me something in God to stand on. And that's what the Word of God is doing. And when I read this, this is very encouraging to me. This lets me know the earth ain't gonna be here forever.
Yes.
Makes you not mind going. It makes you, one thing it ought to do is make you not so afraid of death.
Yes.
You're in God, you ought not be that afraid of death.
Yes.
We have some resistance and some apprehension naturally. And we don't want to die in some crazy way, you know.
Yes.
But the point of it is we know that we have life everlasting. That's what we need to know.
Yes.
Let me finish this. Where did I stop at? God's kingdom is vast. It was created to bring him glory. I read that part. Dead planets and lifeless universes do not bring him glory. However, worlds full of splendor and unsearchable riches of God most certainly will. God is the God of life and light, not void and darkness. His glory will be everywhere in the heavens. The same nations that will be on the new earth will be in the worlds to come. Praise God. African, Asian, American, European, and all other saved nations will continue forever and ever. God is a perfect land surveyor. He knows exactly how many people can comfortably live on earth and on all planets. And because there will be no death, God will need to have the land he needs for his expanding kingdom. Life will rule in the heavens.
Mm-hmm.
And all creation will again praise and magnify the mighty Elohim. From the sanctuaries on their worlds, all will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord. And mankind, God's prized creation, will multiply and spread throughout the kingdom.
Mm-hmm.
The world to come will be a social order of prosperity, life, love, and a close relationship with God of all creation. And that's the end of this particular chapter. Next week we pick up the God bodies, the sons of God. Are there any questions concerning this at this point? Yes, ma'am.
Who are the
24 elders? Who are they? I don't know. There's somebody who's really close to God. I can tell you a lot of people are not. Yeah. I haven't met anybody in the earth yet. Some people, I've heard people say, well, I think so-and-so is going to be one of the 424 elders. I can line them up and tell you people that have more Holy Ghost than anybody I know on earth right now. I can just start and go through the gamut. I can go through Moses, Joshua, Caleb, Elijah, Zephaniah, you know, Nehemiah, Zechariah, Micah, you know, Haggai, and that's just the writers, and then you come down to all the judges, and you list all the people in Hebrews 11 chapter who were all the faith worthies, as Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the list is long. So the 420 elders who are the ones who are around the throne day and night will probably be, of all the people, they will probably be, I would have to think they are from among the Jewish people, because they're the people who will reign, who will live in proximity of the new city of New Jerusalem and dwell there. But I don't know who they will be. And then again, I say that I don't know anybody on earth who would qualify, but then what do I know? God knows them better than me.
Yes.
So, you know, whoever they are, they're some holy people.
Holy,
who do you think they
holy.
Well, I would think that they're at the point where I would certainly think they would be the prophets and apostles.
Yeah.
If you're holy enough to be there, then yeah, I would think that you would be among the prophets and the faith words, as they call them. Everybody, you know, in God, everybody has what God has designed for them to be. I mean, think about it. The two witnesses would be Enoch and Elijah. They live centuries apart,
yes.
And yet God chooses them to come back and be the last two witnesses in the earth before the great tribulation. They're the last ones to come and witness of God. They're the last two to be raptured in the first resurrection, and yet I was reading in Ezekiel today. Of all the gates, do you know who the gates in the city of New Jerusalem are named after?
The tribes.
12 tribes. Mm-hmm. Yeah, 12 tribes. And then all the lands and dispersals and all that, and those things are there, and it's a lot. But God has it all planned out, and when you read the Word of God, you start to read that. Someone asked me the other day, did all the 12 disciples represent all 12 tribes? And I was going to look that up, but I don't think they do.
Mm-hmm.
Because there's not a disciple that's from the tribe. Well, there is one from Levi, Matthew. Matthew is a Levite. And he's from the tribe of Levi, which makes him so despicable in being a tax collector, because the Levites are the ministers and the priests.
Yeah.
And Matthew has totally separated himself as anybody as far from God, and is him. Which makes him such a different, you know, makes it so remarkable that he when his spirit he comes to the Lord, which also shows in all their cases how anyone, when you come to God, I'll say this in my last 4 minutes, Listen, don't ever come to God planning on not changing.
Yes.
I don't want to come down to church. You're trying to change me. That's exactly what you're trying to do. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
That is exactly
the
what
you're saying. The word of the Lord.
Yes. That is exactly what to every one of us. And the change is good. I don't know why people are so, I do know, because of sin and because of the devil, people are so unwilling to allow the Lord to change them. You don't mind your friends changing you, or your family changing you, or this changing you, or that changing you, or whatever. And why not give God an opportunity? He's the only person who can change someone, and everything about every change he makes is great. It's good, and it's right, and it's fair. The Lord will take care of. When people are really going through, it's God they need to turn to.
Yes.
You know, they don't need you to try and build a testimony so they come back and talk about how you talked to them and how what you had to say and all this. Listen, unless you gave them the word of God and sent them to the Lord, we don't have the power in and of ourselves to heal anybody.
Yeah.
You have to turn them to God so that the Lord will work things out, whether the healing be physical, mental, or whatever else. Dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves of all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in fear of God. He's the one who does that. So when you're trying to build people up and encourage them, keep turning them towards God. Keep turning them towards God. Keep turning them towards God.
Mm-hmm.
He's the Redeemer. He's the healer. Keep turning them towards God. Keep pointing, keep showing them the way. Somebody, Chandra was reading, I think she said it was Jake's Rock, Jake's whatever her name is, Sarah Jake's.
Sarah Jake's office.
Yeah, was saying, no, it's she, it's the other lady, who said that, who was saying, I was watching it because Karen's in it, and she was saying that one of the things that really got her started in God was when she read the scripture that everybody had read so many times, and she read, and they said it just really opened her eyes, and she said John was standing there with his two disciples, John the Baptist, and when Jesus came by, John told them, behold the Lamb of God, and take away the sins of the world, and the revelation she got in that was really, was astounding. And that is, she says, here's John with his disciples, and he points to his disciples and points them towards Jesus, and they leave him and follow Jesus. And she said she made up her mind from that point forward that she was going to point people towards Jesus. And without having that revelation, that certainly is what I feel like in the ministry. We need to point people towards Jesus. Don't need to point anybody to anybody here on earth. If they're helping me point towards Jesus, I can go along with it.
Absolutely.
But I don't even just send them to you. And you will experiment on them. I look at your record and see how many disasters you have under your name. So I send them to the person whose record is 100%. If you'll allow the Lord to work things out in you, God will work it out every time. That's what I'm looking at. Last thing we need when someone is really going through is need somebody experimenting on them. And if you have the wisdom and the spirit of God, you know what your limits are.
Yes.
And you're praising that, and you're asking God to govern every word that comes out of your mouth. Lord, please let this be the right word. Lord, please don't let me set myself out here beyond what I'm able to do.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not a clinician. I'm just a preacher.
Yes.
And the only help I have for anybody is the word of God. If you're not interested in having the word of God, I don't have any help for you.
Mm-hmm.
That's the extent of where I am. And then we have to, we have to look in the yellow pages or something. But I do know one thing: God is a healer. Everybody bow your head. You don't need to stand for nothing. Father, we come before you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Lord, we thank you for this great salvation that we have. Lord, this great salvation. Lord, it is a great salvation, oh God. Lord, that you've given us, that you've made us heirs and joint heirs with your precious Son, Jesus Christ. Lord, you made us partakers of eternal life, oh God. And Lord, so much you have done on our behalf, oh Lord. Lord, for your beauty, we're saved by your grace, Lord, not of any of our works, oh Lord. Lord, we thank you and we give you glory and we give you honor. Lord, we ask you tonight, Lord, stretch forth thy hand of mercy and grace, Lord. Lord, in all things, Lord, wash us and cleanse us with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, of all the things we have done this day, Lord, that were not pleasing in your sight, Lord, that were not to your glory, Lord, please forgive us. Lord, whether we knew about it, Lord, or whether we did not, Lord, sins known and unknown, Lord, please forgive us, O God, whether by word, body, or or by thought, O God. Lord, please wash us and cleanse us. Purge us with the purging fire of the Holy Spirit. Lord, sweep through us. Burn away, Lord, all that is unlike you, Lord. Purge us with the purging fire of the Holy Spirit, O God. Purge away every unclean thought, Lord, every evil thought, Lord. Purge away the iniquity from our hearts, O God. And Lord, change us. Come in, O God, as you told Ezekiel, come in, O God, and make a change in us, O God. Lord, take away our stony hearts, Lord, and replace them with a heart of flesh. And Lord, put your spirit within us. Lead us and guide us, O God. Lord, give us an ear to hear, an eye to see, Lord, and a heart to receive, O God, in the name of Jesus. And Lord, touch us in our bodies. For all of us, Lord, who have any mal in our bodies, Lord, I pray, Lord, for the Shekinah glory, for the presence of God. Come in, O God, and heal. Lord, heal our minds and heal our bodies. Lord, our limbs. Lord, drive out every unclean spirit, Lord, that brings about anything that's not like God. And Lord, I pray, Lord, drive out all disease, all maladies, O God. Take cancer away. Heal knees, O God.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus, set minds aright, O God. Lord, all those things, Lord, in the name of Jesus. Lord, you have the power. Lord, you have the power, O God. Stretch forth thy hand to heal, Lord, and move by signs and wonders. Lord, I pray, Lord, for the manifestation of the Holy Spirit in all that we do, Lord, and everyone. And Lord, save souls.
Yes,
Lord, stretch forth thy hand, Lord, and save men and women. Come, Lord, draw them nigh unto thee, O God. In the name of Jesus, Lord, save them. Fill them with your Holy Spirit. Lord, bless this church and all that come in it, O God. Lord, I pray, Lord, bless these grounds. Hallow these grounds. Lord, sanctify us. Lord, make this place, Lord, holy ground, O God. Lord, in this place, Lord, let your presence be. Lord, let your presence be in us. Let your presence be in this place, O God. Lord, for we wholly give it unto you, O God. And Lord, we give you all the glory and all the honor and all the praise in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the people of God say amen.
Amen.
Praise the Lord. Thank God for everybody being out tonight. Pray, Lord, just bless everyone.